right, good morning. You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcast out of unceded Musqueam territories. There we go. I remembered. You just heard DL Incognito with Rugged Raw, and this is Vancouver, right? It's your favorite morning entertainment, comedy, radio, talk program. My name is Simon Armstrong, and again, no Alex this week. It's his third week gone, and as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, he joined the French Foreign Legion in an effort to, you know, stand up for his virtues and his beliefs. And unfortunately, as you probably heard, last week neither of us were here. That's because Alex has died in the French Foreign Legion, and not in glorious combat. Unfortunately, they requested that he dig a latrine pit as one of his new jobs, and he misunderstood and actually thought that they just wanted him to increase an already dug latrine pit. So he actually fell face first into a latrine pit and drowned on dry land, as it were. And anyways, last Thursday I was attending his funeral, and there was a lot of support, a lot of fan support. You know, a lot of people came out, and you know, this is going to be a really hard time for me, so they donated a lot of money to me and my family, and I wanted to say thank you to all those fans who showed their support. But anyways, we can move on. Of course, today I'm here with Gavin Clarkson again.
Oh, hello.
How's it going?
Oh, great. I'm glad I can make it. I like the first thing you mentioned about Alex not being here in the French Foreign Legion. My first thought was latrine, too.
Is that right?
Yeah. He'd be good at latrines,
I think. Well,
was good. Well, not very good at all.
I mean, it's proved that he wasn't.
No, this is true.
You'd think that would be the one area that maybe he could do, is just digging a hole.
Yeah.
But no, even that he's proved to be a failure at. But of course, his memory will live on.
It will.
Yeah.
I was going to cut out his little silhouette on all the outhouses now.
Instead of the moon?
It's going to be his face.
Well, that's a big silhouette, you know. He's got a big head, so I don't know.
Takes away a lot of the privacy.
Yeah.
For his memory.
Today, how are you feeling? How are you feeling this morning?
Oh, I feel it's a morning, so you know, we're still getting there. It's on its way.
I had a weird day yesterday. I don't know if you ever tried this stuff called Emergency. You ever had that?
Oh yeah.
It's like an effervescent vitamin C like powder.
Yeah, I've done that before.
You put in, and I put it in my tea. And it's not great. Like, it tastes sort of gross, but
yeah, it's chalky.
Yeah, it's weird. But I don't know what happened yesterday, but I had it at about, I don't know, 10:30, and I was electric all day. I was talking to people, you know, snapping my fingers, acting crazy all day. I don't know what happened. It lasted till about midnight last night. I was jacked up.
Is there like caffeine or something in it? Like what?
I don't know what happened.
Are you just vitamin C sensitive?
I don't know. This is the thing. I'm
a new potty drug.
Yeah, I'm thinking I should start snorting it. Like maybe, you know, this will be a thing.
You can get buzzed really bad.
That's the thing though. I'm just assuming it was the vitamin C, but usually I'm pretty laid back. I don't, you know, I don't talk that much.
You're not much of a lightweight when it comes to vitamins.
That's right. Yeah. I guess, you know, usually I can handle my vitamins.
Oh, but, yeah. I'm a B12 fiend.
Yeah.
Don't touch me anymore.
Iron.
Yeah.
Calcium.
Yeah.
Damn. You gotta try that vitamin C, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's up.
No, I've heard. I've heard it's a great dance drug.
I don't know what was going on with me, but anyways, I was up too late, and so, unfortunately, it hasn't continued into this morning, but although... I will say this, I had that Whitesnake song, oh crap, what's it called? What's the biggest Whitesnake hit?
This is
amazing, because I had the Whitesnake song stuck in my head all day as I was like vibrating from this vitamin C, and I was like, oh man, this song's gonna be stuck in my head, and now I can't even remember the name of the song the tune at all.
That's because you're off the vitamin C now.
That's right.
Whitesnake only is good when you're high on vitamin C.
I think Whitesnake is a good like street nickname for vitamin
C. For vitamin
C, too.
Yeah.
Whitesnake.
Yeah.
Got some of that Whitesnake.
It's what's killing your kids now.
Yeah, that's right.
The Whitesnake.
Hey man, you got any Whitesnake? No, you can go to any Nestor's and buy.
Yeah,
I don't know why you're talking to me.
This isn't a street value thing.
No, this has nothing to do with me. Speaking of vitamins.
Oh yes.
The you like that transition?
Oh, that's good.
Incredible, right? You're a UConn man yourself.
Yeah, right? grew up in Whitehorse, UConn. Yep.
There we go.
Yeah, and we're been getting a lot of attention lately, and this even went as far as the late night circuit. We're even on Jimmy Kimmel. People talking about this. About a particularly spectacularly failed ad campaign.
Yeah, what exactly is it?
I mean, it was a government ad campaign promoting people to take vitamin D supplements because it's dark there all the time. We get sunlight through vitamin D. It appears that the extensive marketing department in the UConn government is partially out of touch because they put these to print and posted them before quickly taking them down when people noticed them. And the campaign went around, the D is what they decided to go with.
I mean, so many of these marketing campaigns in general, but government ones specifically will create a catchphrase, you know, I don't know. I can't think of a catchphrase here, but we
came up with a great one here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't need to think of one because there's one right in front of me.
Yeah.
How do you do the D?
How do you do the D?
Yeah.
Oh, they're great. It's just pictures of adults. Like, who knew I needed? Like, there's one of this, two women in the background holding a baby, and one on the front just kind of shrugging. And it's just like we all need the D, even me.
Oh no.
Everyone in the UConn government thinks you need more of the D because it's dark and cold out. So get your D and hold a baby while doing it. There's another one where it's a picture of a guy by a dog. just a confusing message.
He's going, hey, look, I'm in my 30s. Who knew I needed to do the D?
Yeah. Well, oh, no, guys in their 30s more than anything need a little bit of D.
We're getting a phone call here. So let's see. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, it's Alex. I'm not dead. I just wanted to call in right away.
You're calling from the other side?
And say that.
Oh my God, it's a ghost. It's a Christmas miracle. Alex, Alex, can you hear me? Walk away from the light.
No,
Alex!
I went to hell.
What?
I went to hell, no light at all.
Well, that's what you deserve.
Fire and...
Let me...
No, I just wanted to call in and say that, you know, I really resent that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not nice to joke around about people's death.
Let me ask you something about hell. Is it cold or is it hot? I've really been curious because both expressions get used. And I really, you know, can you clear it up for me?
I mean, you'll be there very soon to find out.
Is that a threat? I don't appreciate that.
So don't worry.
You get to see the future in hell.
Hi, my replacement. You know, I just want to say I'm not an idiot. I just want to chime in on this ad campaign.
Yeah.
I don't really see anything wrong with it. It seems pretty straightforward. You know, I need D in my life as well. You know, I take as much as possible to feel okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, when I was a kid, one of my best memories is just like my dad giving me D.
Just giving you the D.
School. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to keep me on my toes, kind of.
And now you're in your early 40s. You still need the D, right?
Yeah, well, I'm losing my hair, and I don't want to embarrass myself or anything, so I take the D, and just I've heard that it, you know, helps.
It's good for the self-esteem, getting just a little bit of the D, especially if you're losing your hair.
I mean, not a little, a lot of D. It's the kind of, I think it's actually like, it's a vitamin we actually need a lot of.
So, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Every morning I wake up, I should just take a little bit of the D, and I can't sleep unless I get a bit of the D in me.
Especially... No, who can?
No, exactly.
Beyonce, does she toss and turn? Yes. Yeah, she gets enough D, she's out.
Yep. Even just a bit. You can just do just a little tip of the D. And just see what it's like. If somebody's pretty new to the D, they can just try just a little bit of it and see what it's like, see if they get a little bit of a buzz.
Sometimes,
just a taste.
Sometimes you gotta kind of talk them into it. Look, I'm not sure about this. You're going to feel great. You'll love the D.
Oh, yeah.
Alex's mom, big, big fan of the D. I know that.
All right.
Well acquainted with that. What's the matter, Alex? Not having fun anymore with this bit?
It's, you know,
did I ruin it?
It's okay when you talk about us getting the D, Simon.
I see. I'm sorry.
You guys got time for story?
Yeah, what's going on with you?
I do have to get back to the Legion. Topoys are calling. Yes, I am stationed here in the Alps it's long distance. But, you know...
You sound great.
I made it down to Abbotsford Yuck Yucks last night. That's why I'm not there. It's because I had a gig.
Yeah, you did.
Abbotsford Yuck Yucks, and it's a long drive, and boy, was it a weird show, guys.
Abbotsford isn't a comedy epicenter?
I mean, it's a lot of comedy grows out of it.
I see.
Away from it.
Big difference.
Yeah. Well, here, in the middle of the show, a trucker came, because, you know, it's Abbotsford. I mean, he parked outside. He comes into the show, and he goes... He just starts talking to people, like the bouncer and the manager and the comics in the corner. He's like, "Hey guys, I was wondering if I could do a spot on the show. Could I get on the show?" We're like,
okay.
"No, definitely not.
That's not how this works."
And he said, "Well, you know, just because I've done stand up comedy before. I actually did an hour and a half in Las Vegas.
Wow,
Have you heard of Vegas?
Yeah.
No.
We are familiar. Where did you do an hour and a half?
An hour and a half.
Oh, just where you, we did where like the tryouts happen. That's what he says.
The Las Vegas tryouts
in
comedy.
The famous hour and a half comedy Las Vegas tryouts.
Yeah.
We want to work you into the club circuit here in Vegas, but we're not quite sure. Could you do an audition? Could you do like a tight hour and a half for us?
Yeah, a tight 90 minutes. I'm well on my way.
As you will in the industry.
Well, you have to let this guy up at this point.
Obviously.
You?
He did 90 minutes at that thing in Vegas.
I just mean because he's obviously lying and you need to see what happens. Like you have to watch this lie pan out, don't you? Or no, did you just shoo him along?
I mean, that's exactly what I wanted them to do. And honestly, it probably would have been better than some of the comedy I saw last night.
Boom!
Whoa!
No.
Hey, whoa.
Oh, too excited.
He just watched the show at the back, and afterwards, he got...
Keep going. Just wanted to hit some buttons. I don't know.
Energy! Okay, what's going on? Okay, yeah. Sat at the back and drank. And what's happening, guys? Am I getting the respect I deserve? And I said respect. Okay,
that's all right.
He got belligerent, and then after he came up to me, and he was like, "You know, I've got a similar style as you with my comedy." I was like, "Don't say that, please." Just and he's like, "Can I buy you a drink? I'd love to buy you a drink." And I was like, "Can I get you a drink?"
Why are you denying this amazing interaction that you could have been a part of?
No, I was like, okay, yeah, you can get me a drink. He's like, but not here, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then no. I think I'll decline because I don't want to drink my own blood in your basement.
Is this guy as creepy as I'm picturing him?
Yeah,
like,
I've already
got an image going.
I mean, he looked like a truck driver / serial killer. He was...
Yeah. Truck drivers and serial killers. That's what they look like.
So basically just a truck driver.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go have a drink at the famous Death Back Alley. That's my my favorite spot to go.
Yeah, it was a little weird, but anyway...
You were quite upset yesterday, though, too, weren't you? You've lost your umbrella.
I mean... You know, this is, I don't know.
Hey, what's the matter?
Yeah, I was really, I mean, yesterday was Bell Talk Mental Health Awareness Day.
That's a big day
for me yesterday. It should be one of the happiest days of the year. I'm texting, you know, everything I say turns into 5 cents for mental illness. But yesterday spoiled
All right.
by Professor Muggs.
Let me explain to the people here what happened. You went for a quick bite at the pub at BCIT, which serves the finest canned and frozen slop, and you left your umbrella there.
And let me frame this story here because it's about to get very, very anti-Alex, and I want to tell you know,
as all the best stories do.
That place,
man lost his umbrella. That's be a
not,
little nice.
It is not a great establishment. That terrible service. I could see the people in the kitchen eating as my food took so long to be made because there was one guy in the kitchen and he was eating. Like, I'm pretty sure he made my meal, ate it, and then made it again.
It's like, damn.
You had a poison tester.
It's like, damn, I'm a good cook. I got to eat this.
Poison tester. did I poison this food?
Yeah.
I think I might have poisoned this food.
Okay, so you were a little distraught because you're a hungry boy
I went in with my umbrella.
Yes.
I put it down, and my food had taken so long
you
to
sat
be made
on it.
Because he was hungry.
Okay.
that I was like, okay, I've got my food to go. I quickly grabbed the box and I forgot my umbrella. Fast forward to yesterday.
Yeah.
And how about you take over, I guess?
Well, you I guess you had messaged me saying, can you ask the people there if they've found my umbrella? Which is a reasonable request because I go to I go to school there, of course. And I often frequent the pub, if you hadn't noticed. But
I'm surprised you weren't there when I called.
I mean,
take a look around.
I mean, if you go back and review the text messages you sent me a reminder and said remind, and then I sent you a response text within a minute. So I mean that gives you some idea of my location.
So you were within 60 seconds of it.
Oh, I was within 6 beers of it.
Yeah.
At that point.
Did you get a text from me about finding my umbrella up at the pub, and you walked there? Well, I gotta have a beer now that I'm here. I'll have
No, but that easily could have happened. I was already there having one. So, I went to the server and I went, well, my friend is asking for his umbrella. He left it here, and she went, oh, is this the guy who's called about 500 times about the umbrella? And I immediately went, oh no. What have I got myself into here?
Oh,
I went, oh, has he called? Has he called already? And she went, yes, he's called a number of times.
Maybe once or 100.
We're all talking about it here. You're a topic of conversation. You're an inside joke among the servers. They're calling it Umbrellagate, she says.
Umbrellagate, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, because they have so much time to talk between meals and not bringing me
with mouthfuls of food, they're laughing at you.
They have to make sure it's okay.
Yeah.
God bless these people.
And anyway, so I immediately went, I'm sorry. If I had known he had called, I wouldn't even be asking you. I wouldn't even bother. And she was like, no, it's okay. I understand that he's calling so much because he left it, you know, at the end of the night, and that there's no other way. I mean, the truth is that the cook has it at this point, and he's a very dry man walking around the streets under your umbrella, but you know, you should keep an eye on it more, maybe.
What were their responses during these hundreds of phone calls? Like, would they say, like, yeah, we have your umbrella, come get it, and you're like, okay, goodbye, and then just call them back instantly after? Like,
no, I mean, I would call them, I would talk to someone, and I would call and I would go, hey, like, can you look around for my umbrella? And they go, oh, sure, I'd take a look. And then I wouldn't be satisfied with how long it took between me saying that and them going,
oh,
nope, don't have it. I'd be like, no, I don't think you looked very hard. So I'd call back and I'd talk to someone else and I'd go, you know, just normal stuff. Just trying to find my umbrella.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, oh, God. You realize they put the phone down. If you listen carefully, they're just going, this guy wants me to look for his umbrella. What am I? Just give it 2 minutes. That's a good amount of time to look for an umbrella, right? Yeah, sure. So, Susan, how are you?
This guy's like, food is great.
Yeah. So that was a lengthy series of text messages between me and Alex of insults and back and forth.
Yeah, we raised like $3 for mental health just ourselves.
Just from those texts.
That was a good. Oh yeah, it was Bell Let's Talk Day. So that's a good day to have anxiety.
What is going on with that Bell Let's Talk stuff? I mean, what is it's everyone's. Everyone's criticizing them for their lack of real attempt at helping. Is that what it is? Is that what the
Well, you know what I realized yesterday? You are mentally ill.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. You definitely are. We were having a text, a heated conversation about various things in the radio show. I have a fucking...
Oh,
work.
Okay.
That's
well,
good.
Just
drop it. Press the drop button. See if the drop button works.
Oh, is this the big red one that says hang up? keep going. Explain to everyone how I'm mentally ill.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're basically having an argument. Yeah. And then I say something, I go like, I go like, okay, well, I'm just trying to sort things out here, you know, and this is what you write. I was going to go and get the text, but
yeah, let's hear it.
But I'll try to remember the best. What you write in three texts, I started this for like a full minute. You wrote, oh, that's chill. No, I'm just kind of having an argument with myself in my own head, if that makes any sense. But I'm having it here in front of you.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't make sense. What are you talking about?
Well, what I mean by that is that we're having a little bit of an argument, but I'm also just, I'm trying to see it from a number of perspectives, right? Like, we are having an argument about something else entirely separated from the umbrella. And I was just trying to put out a point of view into words that I could either, you know, agree with or disagree with, and then see also what you thought about it. That's basically
so
it.
So you wanted Alex to referee your schizophrenia.
Yeah, well, maybe. I wanted to argue. One of my other personalities wanted to argue with another one of Alex's.
Yeah.
And it. Yeah, but yeah. No, but
I can't wait till you're married and you're going, just do the turn. I'm just kind of working things out in my own head here. I mean, I think that's fine. And
because you weren't actually putting forth any stance on the argument we were having. So I was just saying, well, fine, okay, I'm gonna make a, you know, I'm gonna type out a stance and then, you know, see how you react to it, and then also see how I feel about it. I mean, I don't know. It's not like I'm talking to somebody in person and being like, oh, I gotta get the chickens. I gotta find the chickens. I'm like, what are you talking about? The chickens? Don't worry about it. I'm just, you know, having an argument with myself.
That would have been more normal than what you were doing, because that would have showed at least you had a purpose. Like, I need to find the chickens. Let's find the chickens. This was just, there was no rhyme or reason to your.
There was
madness.
Absolutely rhyme and reason, because you said to me, that's not actually what I think. I never said that that you wanted, you know, this certain thing to happen, and I.
How meta would it be if we started arguing about this right now? And then yeah. But it's fine. I'm just, you know, just trying to figure things out anyway. Let's cut to a song. You guys probably need to.
Yeah, don't come in here and start telling me when I need to play songs. But thanks for your call.
Don't forget to play. Keep the faders up, and yep. Gavin, don't be afraid to get involved. He doesn't mind when, feel free to reach over.
I can push button. Oh, it's been so tempting. It's right here. There's so many things to push.
Off.
Yeah, lean over and touch the buttons.
Oh, oh my God,
likes
yes.
to do that quite a bit.
I'm so ready.
All right, but he is unfortunately right. Now we do have to take a break. So, yeah. Thanks for calling, Alex.
Bye, Alex.
And if you want to call, you can call us at 604-UBC-CITR. We'll be right back.
After decades of decline, drowning fatalities have been rising dramatically in Canada since 2004. Most drowning victims had no intention of going in the water, and harmless situations can become dangerous quickly. This summer, if you're going out on the water, even if you're not planning on going in it, be water smart and be prepared. Here are some things you can do to reduce your risk of drowning. Learn to swim and swim to survive. If you can tread water for a minute, you can orient yourself, and if you can swim 50 meters in a pool, you'll most likely be able to swim to safety in open water. Most drowning fatalities occur within just 15 meters of safety. Wear a life jacket or personal flotation device. 80% of all boating deaths were people who were not wearing one. Take a marine safety course, and if you're going kayaking or canoeing, know how to get out of your craft if it flips over. Practice basic safety moves such as wet exits and self-rescues. Save the alcohol for dry land after you're done playing on the water. And never go out alone. For more information...
Diamond. out your lips and I'll put them back in like, oh my god, I wish I hadn't said that. I'm like dynamite, the gentle pull. You can run away, but you never feel fun. Like, oh my god, you know you need to go.
English Students Association is hosting the Colloquium, their second annual conference, on Saturday, January 30th, from noon to 6 in the Dodson Room in the Irving K. Barber Learning Center. The Colloquium will feature presentations from English students as well as future faculty presenters, including Dr. Robert Rouse, Dr. Tiffany Potter, and Dr. Adam Frank. Attendance to the Colloquium is free and refreshments will be provided, so please visit the UBC English Students Association on Facebook in order to reserve your free ticket.
All right, welcome back to Vancouverite on CITR 101.9. We sort of touched on this. Alex just called. Actually, the song you just heard was Lowell with Club 69. We kind of touched on this with a phone call with Alex, but it's everyone's sort of up in arms about this Bell Let's Talk thing.
Yeah, the Let's Talk campaign.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know, like every time that a rich and powerful company tries to do any sort of donation campaign, there's always people that are furiously up in arms about it because they somehow forgot that big companies like to make money.
I guess the anger comes from, like, they say they're going to donate 5 cents for every text, right, and mobile and long distance call and tweet using a Bell phone.
Yeah,
and so I guess people are saying 5 cents is nothing.
Yeah,
and you can do more sort of thing.
But it's a lot more than any of the people saying that nothing have ever donated ever. So like it's a paltry amount for Bell. It is. Bell's a giant multi-billion-dollar company. But I saw on a lot of my social media feed anyway, a lot of very touching stories that I wouldn't have otherwise heard, and then a lot of people complaining about how it wasn't enough. And I feel like it never will be enough. On big campaigns like this, people are going to get up in arms unless a company literally goes bankrupt promoting its ad campaign. And that's all it is. It's an ad campaign.
That's true.
Small positive outlook, which is better than most ads that ever do come out. And I find it to be rather counterproductive for everybody. But like, this big, powerful company that only makes money doesn't want to stop doing that for me.
I mean, yeah, you're right. It's an ad and it's also an ad that's trying to raise money for something, which is not what most ads do at
all. No, exactly.
Other than raise money for themselves.
Yeah. And it might be a paltry amount compared
to everything they make.
I don't know
about that. It's 5 cents for every text, call, and tweet.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I think it worked out to like something like a few million. Like,
that's insane that people are complaining about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not enough because Bell is worth megalobs billions of dollars, which is fine, but it doesn't.
I mean, even if the ad campaigns are insensitive or something, or they're insulting in some way to people with mental illness, which I don't which I don't think they are. They're donating millions of dollars to this.
Yeah,
is that right?
I imagine. Mean, as far as we know, basing this off of completely just nothing.
Yes, but right.
It's a fact. Like it's something's being done, and I think that's very positive. And criticizing others for participating in something which I thought had a neat idea behind it.
It's a dangerous road to go down.
Right? It is.
Because what are you really saying? Yeah. Like, oh, you're not doing enough. You're not doing enough. Well,
yeah. Nobody's ever happy. And none of those people complaining ever go to the soup kitchen.
And maybe the truth is that that's a problem with charities. Maybe not a problem, but it's a truth that there's never enough being done.
No,
period,
there isn't.
Because you can always do more in some way. Yep. And, you know,
so we should stop doing all the things.
Yeah, just don't do anything. Yep. And, you
just
know,
make
order
the new
pizza.
iPhone.
Yeah. Make the new iPhone. Yeah.
Make the line shorter.
I mean, speaking of criticisms, B.O.B., who I think he's a. Is he a Canadian rapper or is he just a Miami? I don't actually know where he's from. But, anyways, he's a rapper. Mm-hmm. And he made a song talking about how the earth is flat,
oh,
right? and dissing Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Which is something you never want to do. I don't think.
No, you don't. Know, he's and this is on the heels of, I think it was just at the beginning of this year, good old washed up Tila Tequila herself briefly relevant again by writing the most brutally high school like essay. I think it was full of like capitalization LOL and stuff about how the world is totally super duper flat and y'all are a bunch of sheep. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I love the flat earth theory in particular because like for any conspiracy to be a conspiracy, there needs to be a motivation or reason for it to be a conspiracy. Like, we didn't land on the moon, but we had to fake it so that we could beat the communists.
Yeah.
Whereas flat earth benefits nobody for any perceptible or any
reason. It's a pure conspiracy. Like, they're saying that NASA is, like, this picture that B.O.B. tweeted, it says, NASA, edge of the world gatekeepers.
Yeah.
So they're keeping us from whatever lies at the edge of the
Earth. Mountains of diamonds.
Yes,
obviously.
Dragons.
Beyond the ice.
Yeah, be there.
Middle Earth.
Yeah.
We're all just really hoping Middle Earth is real.
But I love this too because it really shows the cockiness and the confidence of rappers. This guy's taking on NASA.
Yeah.
You
Neil
know,
DeGrasse
and it's
Tyson.
Like, well, good for you. You know, like, I mean, you're going after NASA.
He's just not one of the sheeple.
No. He's like, damn, NASA.
Yeah, like it's just
insane.
There's no motivation for a flat earth theory.
I love someone who's that confident, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, as ridiculous as it is, it's just like, okay. I mean, I would never have the balls to really go, you know, NASA's wrong.
Yeah.
NASA is wrong.
I have not enough conviction for any of that. And the Tila Tequila thing, she posted this independently made documentary on YouTube, which was just like dramatic fantasy movie trailer music with a whole bunch of pictures of landscapes, and then the guy draws a straight line across the landscape and it's like, there's no curve. and like a picture of Manhattan from afar, and it's just like all the buildings are pointing straight up. They're not all like bent outwards.
And like she's showing a picture from a satellite of Earth. You see, it is flat.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2D. Look at this picture.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And then she put out a challenge like, show me a picture of the curvature of the Earth. And any picture anyone submitted, she's like, well, that's not real. That's shopped.
Oh,
you're part of the sheeple.
Of
round earthers.
Well, that phone call went a little bit long, so we actually have to take another break right now. So we will be right back.
More drowning kids.
It's Vancouver, right? That's Vancouver, comma right, ? Get it? It's your favorite comedy entertainment news and personal story-based radio talk show.
Does that mean you have listeners?
Every Thursday morning from 8 to 9. That's every Thursday at 8 to 9 a.m. Hosted by top-tier Canadian entertainers, Alex Biron.
Visualize, if you will,
okay,
a mountain.
Okay.
And
oh, I got a great inspiration right now.
Yeah.
I'm talking about his nose.
And Simon Armstrong.
I make all the contributions to the show. We're also like incredibly awkward and uncomfortable. So when we try I'll speak for both of us.
I don't
make some funny happen, funny man.
Dude, I can't remember what I was gonna say.
It's a show about intellectual conversation.
Pull my rat though.
Friendship.
So what are you sweeping up after?
Can you stop?
Two of Vancouver's most intellectually stable men tell it like it is.
Alex is a hoarder of attention. How damaged is your heart?
The fans are raving about Vancouverite.
I don't really like it.
No.
But anyway, I was sitting in the bath.
It's a new way to make single people feel lonely.
So make sure every Thursday morning at 8, you wake up with Vancouverite on CITR 101.9.
Okay, have another drink.
Hey, why so sad?
Oh, nothing, really. Not very convincing, Jane girl. Whatever it is, I've got just the cure for it.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Did you know CITR has a women's collective? This brand new collective is all about providing and fostering a community for women who are or who want to be in radio, fighting the gender disparity in media, and centering women's voices and issues. If you are a female-identified person or ally who's already involved in radio or wants somewhere to start, this collective is for you. Email womenscollective@citr.ca for more information and to get involved.
And tune in Friday at 6 p.m. for the collective show, Lady Radio, featuring music, interviews, events, news, commentary. commentary. Basically anything we care to talk about. See you then.
All right, welcome back. We're Simon Armstrong here with Gavin Clarkson.
Hello.
What's going on with you? Oh, Jesus, PSA is still playing. All right, we're okay here. Everything's okay.
We're good. We're back on board. Good.
Did you want to plug anything quickly before we keep going here?
Oh, what do I got? I'll get back to you on that.
Cool.
My schedule.
Last time you came in, you were talking about your fiance, Sheena. She was quite upset that David Bowie died.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was wondering if she was just as upset that Abe Vigoda died. She's not
as close with Abe Vigoda, I'm afraid.
No, sorry, keep going.
But I none of us get close to Abe Vigoda because he just is so varied.
Yeah, he keeps you at an arm's length, doesn't he? He really does.
Abe Vigoda just pushes you away.
Has she been upset for any other reason lately? Or
well, there was a couple of weeks ago, a friend from the Yukon came down. Yeah. And we went out drinking together.
As you Yukon boys tend to do.
Yeah, exactly. And something that rarely happens to me. I had the whole memory blackout thing.
Oh,
like,
no.
Like, I assume somebody must have drugged one of the 13 or 14 drinks I had had.
Oh, my.
Memory blanks.
Yes. And well, I don't know if you have to drug 14, one of 14
it's
drinks.
What I'm going, it's, what, yeah. It's all I have. All it's right. all yeah. I have.
Yeah.
And I'd gotten in trouble with her before when I'm out partying with friends and I don't like text her, just give her updates. It's like, oh, this is what we're up to, blah blah blah, and just the whole relationship thing, and I'm not good at that. So I kind of did that and I kind of didn't, because I texted her throughout the night, which is what I used to rebuild the events from the night before that I couldn't remember. But I also didn't tell her that I wasn't coming home that night.
No.
So she just assumed I was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to wake up and
of course.
And retrace.
Where did you wake up?
In a hotel room at the
weird.
At the River Rock Casino, which is, to be fair, that's where my friends were staying.
Yeah, yeah.
But she woke me up with a phone call as it was buzzing by my head, and I remember the first thought that occurred to me as I woke up. I'm like, oh, this bed is really nice. Like, this is the most comfortable bed. This is so much better. And then I kind of looked at the phone buzzing. I'm like, oh, no, I am in trouble. I'm in so much trouble.
Oh, no.
She has no idea where I am. And then I was able to retrace my steps. And I had been texting her throughout the night, but none of them were useful whatsoever in any way. Like, one of them,
oh, no.
She didn't know where I was or what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So she just receives a text from me that is a picture of a hotel room bathtub with the phrase, I miss having a nice bathtub. So she doesn't know.
That doesn't give any information.
And the worst part, like, she doesn't know where I am or what I'm doing. She just knows I'm in a hotel room for some reason. Why am I in a hotel room?
Yeah.
And then the next picture was, like, the minibar in the hotel room. Like, minibar prices. So now I'm drinking in that hotel room, and she doesn't know. And then the text that followed a couple hours after that was, now we're getting free drinks down on the casino floor. So now she knows I'm in a casino, and I know we weren't getting free drinks on the casino floor. So I don't know where that one came from, because there was a charge on my credit card. So I must have just thought they were free.
Oh,
and
no.
That credit cards give out free money.
Did you rent that room while you were intoxicated?
Like, my buddy was already staying there that night, the one we started drinking with. But I was supposed to go out and have like a casual beer with this guy and come home.
Oh,
and
my.
Then she just gets this series of completely nonsensical updates that did not help my case at all. And then there was one I did, I think in my drunken say, I'm like, oh, I need to tell her I'm not going to make it home tonight. So I called her at like 2:30 in the morning, which she obviously missed that call.
Yeah.
And then my drunken self was like, oh, I've done my part, and then just continue on with the night without telling her anything that was going on that evening.
How good is your texting when, like, was it discernible?
It was surprisingly well. Yeah, I do. Like, when I'm really drunk with text, I do the whole thing where, like, you squint one eye and kind of review.
You have to.
So the blurry thing comes out, and like it might take me a few tries, but I proofread my drunken texts, so they're at least words.
Yeah, I think my drunk texts are probably better written than my sober.
You're more
ones.
Careful
because it takes me if we're measuring time in SkyTrain stops, which is generally how it
That's
works.
A good measure.
Yeah, it takes me from Main Street to 29th to actually make a text, and because I'm squinting and going, okay, I gotta, oh
yeah.
no,
like, does this make,
I gotta
does
take
this
a break.
Make sense?
I gotta take a break.
Is it, she'll like this. My ex-girlfriend will like this message.
Her boyfriend and her dad, I'll CC them in this text.
Yeah, no, they need to know. They need to know my feelings.
Yeah.
And this is very well written. Yeah.
You really missed out on this. This great guy.
I'm drunk on the SkyTrain. You missed a winner.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Oh God. Well, how did you make up for your gross missteps?
I owed her. This is 100% true. I owe her picking her up from work 5 times, of which she's used 3. Uh-huh. And the other thing I owe her is taking her out for chicken and waffles. So all of our relationship is just based off of bartering for food and rides.
Yeah, well, I feel like most probably are. Any healthy relationship is.
Yeah, food and rides is what keeps things together.
Where's a good chicken and waffles place?
I've got a figure one.
Oh,
out.
No, you don't know.
Yeah,
don't
know. There's like an oyster place downtown that also makes chicken and waffles, but I don't know. Mm. I don't know if a place that makes good oysters would also make good chicken and waffles. I have no idea. Hey, they don't seem related to me.
No. I mean, oysters are what, the chicken of the sea? No, that's tuna.
That's so tuna. Oysters? So, tuna and waffles would be terrible. That was the
only... Ew, syrup, maple syrup and tuna? Mm, oh, I don't know.
I'm going to take her out for that. Or she can just come home to that. Just Eggos and a can of tuna.
Eggos and...
some Aunt Jemima.
Some Beehive, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. No, I don't afford the brand name.
No.
I just got the one in the same shape jar.
The no-frills yellow syrup in black writing.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. I have to... I know we have to take a lot of breaks here, but unfortunately I have to go into one more, and then we'll be right back here.
Hey, this is Simon Armstrong from Vancouverite, Thursdays at 8 a.m. My co-host Alex and I love being on CITR, but we wouldn't be here without the support of our incredible community of listeners. Yes, it's time for the CITR Fun Drive. We're raising money to keep up these brand spanking new studios we've got here in the AMS Nest. Come see for yourself, and if you don't believe me, you can take one of the training sessions. Yes, donations help pay for those too. The Fun Drive runs for 1 week. We'll have volunteers at the phones from Thursday, February 25th at noon until Thursday, March 3rd at 9:30 p.m. It's all capped off by the huge Fun Drive finale at the Hindenburg on West Cordova. It's a massive celebration. You heard me. It's an old-fashioned romperoo of a telethon. And yes, I just used the word romperoo. Your donations will pay for some better words as well. We've got prizes, so listen to us Thursdays, 8 a.m. Hear more information.